All right, brethren, 1 Kings chapter 10. Queen of Sheba came to our Lord, to Solomon, and our Lord spoke of this. In Matthew 12, the Lord was declaring that he must give a new heart for a man to be able to preach the gospel, to speak right things concerning the Lord. The scribes and the Pharisees, he said, could not preach Christ. They couldn't speak right things. He said, O generation of vipers, how can ye, being evil, speak good things? For out of the abundance of the heart the mouth speaketh. And then they came, certain of the scribes and Pharisees, and they answered him. They're always quick to answer and object, tell what they knew. And they said, Master, we'd see a sign from thee. But he answered, and he said unto them, An evil and adulterous generation seeketh after a sign. What about the speaking in languages men had never learned? Wasn't that given for a sign? But for who? It was a sign for a time, but who was it a sign for? Scripture said, Paul said, In the law it's written, With men of other tongues and other lips will I speak unto the people. That's what the Lord said. I will speak through these men who speak in other languages. And in other lips will I speak unto the people. And yet for all that, they will not hear me, saith the Lord. They won't hear me, saith the Lord. Wherefore tongues are for a sign, not to them that believe, but to them that believe not. But preaching, prophesying, preaching the gospel of Christ serveth not for them that believe not, but for them which believe. And our Lord answered, and he said to them, An evil and an adulterous generation seeketh after a sign, and there shall no sign be given to it but the sign of the prophet Jonas. For as Jonas was 3 days and 3 nights in the whale's belly, so shall the Son of Man be 3 days and 3 nights in the heart of the earth. The men of Nineveh shall rise in judgment with this generation and shall condemn it, because they repented at the preaching of Jonas. And behold, a greater than Jonas is here. Christ is the sign. He's the proof. When he speaks into the heart and he gives a new heart and he gives faith, then you have the evidence of things not seen. You have the substance of things hoped for. Abraham didn't need a sign. He believed the word of the Lord. He had all the proof he needed. He believed God. That's what Christ does in the heart. He's the one who gives this revelation of him. But he spoke of the queen of the south in verse Matthew 12:42. He said, The queen of the south shall rise up in the judgment with this generation and shall condemn it, for she came from the uttermost parts of the earth to hear the wisdom of Solomon. And behold, a greater than Solomon is here. Look there at 1 Kings 10. And look at what she heard. And look why she came. 1 Kings 10:1, when the queen of Sheba heard of the fame of Solomon concerning the name of the Lord, she came to prove him with hard questions. She came there not to hear Solomon's natural wisdom. She came to hear the name of the Lord. She came to hear what he knew concerning the name of the Lord. What she had heard, she's going to say later, I didn't believe it. Too good to be true till I came. She came to Solomon, and she heard the name of the Lord declared through the Lord's preacher. When you think of Solomon, what do you think his chief office was? You think of him being a king? He was a king, but his chief office was as the preacher of our Lord. He was a preacher of the gospel. Ecclesiastes 1:1, the words of the preacher, the son of David, the king in Jerusalem. He was a preacher. He declared the truth. Her coming to Solomon is an illustration of the child of God coming to hear the gospel of Christ, to hear a word from Christ, to hear Christ speak through the gospel, to be taught of our Lord Jesus. Behold, a greater than Solomon is here. The Lord gave Solomon wisdom, but our Savior is wisdom. The Lord gave Solomon an understanding to preach the truth. Christ is the truth. Paul said, of God is Christ made unto us wisdom. In Christ are hid all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. He said, no man knows the Son but the Father, neither knows any man the Father save the Son, and he to whomsoever the Son will reveal him. She heard the report in her own land, but she not only heard it, she came from a long way. The Lord said, from the uttermost parts of the earth, she came to hear. She came to hear. The Lord's sheep would go a long way to hear the gospel of our Redeemer. They'll go a long way to hear the gospel of our Redeemer. People that hear how far some of you drive think that's foolishness. They think it's foolishness. But the Lord had raised up the gospel in every place. And, you know, if a man finds out that he has a disease and he hears there's a physician that can heal that disease, no distance is too far to go with that disease. Well, our Lord is the great physician. He makes his people every whit whole. And when we find out that we're wounds and bruises and putrefying sores from the top of our head to the sole of our feet, then we want to come hear about Christ. We want to hear from Christ. We want to hear the word of our Lord. We want to hear of how he is wisdom and how he is salvation. We want to be taught of the Lord. We keep coming to him to be taught of him. The Queen of the South didn't come there to debate and to object. That's not what these hard questions are about. That's what the Pharisees and the scribes did. They always had a word. She came there with questions too hard for her. She came there with questions no other man could answer for her. She came to hear the wisdom the Lord had given Solomon concerning the Lord, the wisdom of the Lord. That's what she came there with. This was a queen. She had servants under her rule. But she came there like Mary, and she sat down at Solomon's feet to be taught of him. To be taught of him. The Lord's going to save through the preaching of the gospel. That's humbling. That's humbling. The Lord has to humble us to hear him and look to him through his means that he's chosen. Our Lord said, take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I'm meek and lowly in heart. You shall find rest unto your souls. He's the faithful witness. But we have to be made as children. He said, except you are converted and become as little children, willing to hear, willing to be taught of the Lord through the means he's ordained, he said, you shall not enter the kingdom of heaven. She came there with some hard questions. She came there wanting to know some things about salvation. She came there wanting to know some things about how a sinner can be saved. She came there to hear concerning the name of the Lord. What are some things the Lord's going to reveal that are hard questions that no man can answer? Only the Lord can reveal it. Only the Lord can reveal it. This is what's revealed to us by Christ when he speaks and makes us know him. Here's the question of all questions. You know we're going to talk about questions. You know where I'm going to start. This is the question of all questions. How can a man be just with God? How can he be clean that's born of a woman? There's no sinner that has the wisdom to answer that. We don't even know we need to be justified. We don't even know we need to be clean until God makes us know it. And there's no way we can justify ourselves. There's nothing we can do to justify ourselves. We wouldn't need to be justified if that was so. Only the Lord makes us know that we have no good in us. We have no way of justifying ourselves. We sinned in another, and we must be justified by another. We must be made the righteousness of God by another. There's only one way a sinner can be just by God. Only one way we can be just with God, be justified by God, that's by God, by our Lord Jesus Christ being made righteousness unto us, made to know it's by his obedience alone that we're made the righteousness of God. That's the only way we can be justified with God. That's what Christ accomplished. That's why God is both just and he's the justifier. Every sinner that sins has to die, and we died in him. And that perfect obedience is the righteousness of his people. Who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect? It's God that justifieth. God did the justifying. God was in Christ. He did the justifying. Romans 3:24 says this. Being justified freely by his grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus, whom God has set forth a propitiation through faith in his blood to declare his righteousness. His righteousness in the remission of sins. To declare how he's righteous in remitting the sins of his people through the forbearance of God. To declare, I say at this time, his righteousness that he might be just and the justifier of him which believeth in Jesus. The Lord Jesus Christ is the righteousness of God. He's God and he's the righteousness of God. He's God, our righteousness in human flesh. And he justified his people. He justified his people. That righteousness is given to us through God giving us faith to believe him. Giving us faith to believe him. Trust him. Abraham believed God and it was accounted to him for righteousness. God imputed righteousness to him. Here's another question. How can a sinner have life? How can he have spiritual life? How can he know Christ? How can he believe on Christ? The Lord Jesus said we must be born again. Nicodemus had a question. He said, how can a man be born when he's old? How can he enter the second time into his mother's womb and be born? And Jesus answered, verily, verily, I say unto you, except a man be born of water and the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. He can't even see the Lord, not with faith. We must be born by the Holy Spirit through the word of the gospel, through the word of the Lord. A new man is born within. A new man's created within the sinner. A new man is born. A new man is born. Born by the Holy Spirit, born by the word of God, which lives and abides forever. That's utterly foolishness to this world. That's foolishness to this world. Tell me something else. Give me a sign. Our Lord said, marvel not. I said unto you, you must be born again. Here's another hard question. No man can answer this. The Lord has to reveal this. When I'm born of God and brought to believe on Christ, how is it that the all-seeing, all-knowing God can declare that he sees no sin in his people? How is that? How can the all-knowing God not remember our sin anymore? That's what he said. How can that be? You reckon Queen of Sheba asked Solomon this? She came asking concerning the name of the Lord. This is his name. Here's how. Christ Jesus the Lord has removed all the transgressions from off his people. He didn't leave one. He removed all the transgressions from his people. He's the one pictured in the scapegoat that took all the sins of his people away. This is what God says of his people. He said, as far as the east is from the west, so far hath he removed our transgressions from us. That's God's word. He said, I am he that blotteth out thy transgressions for mine own sake and will not remember thy sins. I will not, God said, I will not remember them. That's God's word. He said, in those days and in that time, saith the Lord, the iniquity of Israel shall be sought for. Who's going to seek for it? The devil's seeking for it. The Pharisees and scribes were seeking for it in our Lord. God says it'll be sought for, but before him, before God, where it matters, before God, this is what he said, there shall be none. There shall be none. The sins of Judah, and they shall not be found, for I will pardon whom I reserve. That tells you what pardon is, doesn't it? God has wiped every sin out. He has blotted out every sin of his people. It cost Christ his blood, and he blotted them out with his blood, but he's removed them. He's pardoned his people of all our transgressions. Brethren, God does not pretend. He does not pretend. He does not see sin in his people because Christ put our sin away. When God says he will not impute sin to his people, it's because by the blood of Christ, we have no sin to impute. That's so. God imputes righteousness because Christ made his people the righteousness of God by his obedience. You know, this is so. It's so. Here's another question. How can God say in his word that those born of him sin not and never die, and yet you and me that trust him and believe him, we see our sin and we die physically? How can both of those be true? How can both of those be true? Christ said to Nicodemus, he said, that which is born of flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Holy Spirit is spirit. That's how it can be so. Our old man is still sinful flesh. The Lord didn't do anything to our old man of flesh. The Holy Spirit entered in and created a new spirit. That which is born of flesh is still flesh. That which is born of the Holy Spirit is spirit. Those born again are two men in one. You're an old man of Adam and a new man of Christ. An old man of Adam, a new man of Christ. The new man cannot sin, cannot be corrupted, cannot die. Why is that? Because we're born again of the incorruptible seed, the word of God which liveth and abideth forever. So the new man can't be corrupted, can't sin, can't be corrupted, can't die. Born of the incorruptible seed by the word of God which lives and abides forever. Whosoever is born of God doth not commit sin, for his seed remaineth in him, and he cannot sin because he's born of God. But then we have our old man. Our old man's only sinful flesh and only sins. Our old man is sin and only sins. The carnal mind is enmity against God, for it's not subject to the law of God, neither indeed can be. Paul said, I delight in the law of God after the inward man. That's so of you who are born of him. I delight in the law of God after the inward man. Every word of God, I delight in it. It's my hope. It's my salvation. We just sang it. Christ is all in all. But I see another law in my members, in my old man. Warring. Constantly warring, just warring against the law of my mind, a new man. He's against me. He's bringing me into captivity to the law of sin, which is in my members. Brethren, when you come to our great Solomon, he declares, those that are born of him and believe on him are under grace. Therefore, sin shall not have dominion over you. He will not let you fall away from him. He will not. There's a new man created in him, by him, and he dwells in that new man, and he will not permit sin to have the dominion over you. But we know this, you know this, if you're his, you are brought into the captivity of your old man. That's exactly what Paul declared. But God has a purpose in that. He could have totally made you entirely new. But God has a purpose in that as long as you're in this world. What's his purpose? He keeps us seeing that in my flesh dwells no good thing. He keeps me seeing when I would do good, evil's present with me. You examine yourself tomorrow. You do an inventory tomorrow as you go through the day. And you just count how many times you sin against God. Just the ones you know about. Thoughts, words, looks, whatever. You know why what he does by that? He keeps you from getting puffed up. He keeps you from being too exalted. And here's something else he does. He keeps you crying out to the Lord to deliver you and be your salvation. Here was Paul's question, and here's the answer he got from the Master. He said, "O wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from the body of this death?" I'm carrying around a dead body. Who's going to deliver me from him? Today, next hour, tomorrow, eventually in the end. Who's going to deliver me from the body of this death? Here's the answer the Lord gave him. I thank God it's through Jesus Christ our Lord. So then, with the mind, with the new man, I myself serve the law of God, but with the flesh, the law of sin. Child of God, you that are His, mortify the flesh through the Spirit. Come to Christ. Come to our Solomon. Cry out to Him. Ask Him for mercy and for grace to help. Go to His Word. Mortify the flesh through the Spirit. The only way we can do it. We can put away sin and be so puffed up in sin that we put away some sin that we don't even know who we are. Do it through the Spirit. But when your sinful flesh brings you into captivity, you keep crying to the Lord to deliver you. All right, Paul said, you've not received the spirit of bondage again to fear. You've received the spirit of adoption whereby we cry, Abba, Father. You see, if you wasn't born of the Spirit of God, you wouldn't know anything about this warfare. The scribes and Pharisees didn't have this warfare. Only if you're born of God do you have this warfare. That's the only time that you see you are the loathsome thing and hate yourself. Not just your sin. Our Lord said in that day, they'll loathe their own selves. But Paul said, you, because you have the Spirit of the Lord, the Spirit of adoption, He will bear witness with that new man. The Spirit will bear witness with our spirit that you're the children of God. And He'll bring you to cry, Abba, Father. And He said, not only that, He said, when you don't know how to cry or you can't even get the words out, He said, the Spirit Himself will make intercession with words that cannot be uttered. That's what He's telling us. This is how you're delivered. And he that searcheth the hearts knoweth what is the mind of the Spirit, because he maketh intercession for the saints according to the will of God. When he tells you the Spirit makes intercession for us with groaning which cannot be uttered, this is something that you and I, if we do enter into this, it's very, very little. It has something to do with how Peter was spared. It has something to do with how David was spared. How all his people are spared. When you're not calling out to God, when you're crying bitter tears and you think it's over for you, the Spirit is interceding for you. Christ is faithful to you when you don't have faith toward Him. And He's the one, just what Brother Adam just read, when he said, call on Him, then I called on Him. And He's going to keep you calling on Him. And all of this is what Paul's talking about when he said, God is working all things together for them that love God, to them who are the called according to His purpose. It's all united with this being constantly delivered from the body of this death. That's one thing He's working together with everything else to show you Christ is your salvation. And you're going to be more than conquerors through Christ that loved you. None of these things are going to separate you from Him. That's what He's declaring. Why? Because it's God that justified you. It's Christ that laid down his life and is at God's right hand interceding for you. That's how. That's foolishness to men that think they're righteous. This is how God makes his people zealous of good works. Zealous to do for you brethren what Christ has done for you constantly. Constantly. Be gracious and merciful and not trust in your works, not boast in your works. Listen to Proverbs 24:15. Lay not wait, O wicked man, against the dwelling of the righteous. Spoil not his resting place, for a just man falleth seven times, and he riseth up again. Be careful about God's people. That's what he's saying to the enemy. The steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord, and he delighteth in his way. Though he fall, he shall not be utterly cast down, for the Lord upholdeth him with his hand. Christ lifts us up. He uses brethren to speak of Christ our righteousness. And by that, you know what he's doing? He's growing you to be patient under the Lord's rod. And trust the Lord. Wait on the Lord. Micah learned that. Micah said, therefore, I will look unto the Lord. I will wait for the God of my salvation. My God will hear me. Rejoice not against me, O mine enemy. When I fall, I shall arise. When I sit in darkness, the Lord shall be light unto me. I will bear the indignation of the Lord. I'll bear the rod because I've sinned against him. Until he plead my cause and execute judgment for me, he'll bring me forth to the light. I shall behold his righteousness. That's what Paul's talking about when he said, who's going to deliver me from the body of this death? When I'm brought into captivity, this is what he's teaching me. Wait on the Lord. He's going to raise you up. He's going to show you his mercy and his grace abundantly towards you. You wouldn't see it if you didn't need it. And what he's going to do by that is he's going to grow you to know. He's not going to let the sin have dominion over you. He's going to keep you. No matter what men say, no matter what they do. Now lastly, notice what happened. This is what happens when we come to Christ. Go back there to 1 Kings 10. How do we come to Christ? How do you come to Christ? You come in your heart. You come in your heart. By the Spirit of God, you come in your heart to come to him. Come to his word. Meditate on his word. Come hear his gospel. Solomon's a preacher preaching the gospel to this woman. You hear the gospel, but you're hearing Christ. You're coming to Christ. Verse 2 says, when she was come to Solomon, she communed with him of all that was in her heart. That's what we do when we come to Christ. And Solomon told her all her questions. There was not anything hid from the king which he told her not. You go to Christ, and you pour out your heart to him. Open up your heart to him and pour out your heart to him. Be honest with him. Pour out everything to him. Everything to him. He said that he will receive all who come to him broken, asking mercy and asking wisdom. He said, him that comes to me, I will in no wise cast out. And what does Christ make us see? Look at verse 4. And when the queen of Sheba had seen all Solomon's wisdom in the house that he had built, that's what the Lord's going to make you see. He's going to make you see Christ our wisdom. Pharisees never saw him. He never made them see him. And that's why they kept on quick answering. Every time he'd speak something, they had something they knew. She came there and heard. She came there and heard wisdom speak. She heard the Lord speak through Solomon. And our Lord's going to make you see that he builds his house. She saw the house that he had built. The Lord's going to make you see he's building his house. One living stone upon another. Put them together, fitly frame. He's doing that. Verse 5, and she saw the meat of his table. The Lord just keeps on bringing you to his table and reminding you, if you eat my flesh and you drink my blood, you have life. And he keeps feeding his child with the bread from heaven. He draws you to his table. Like Mephibosheth, he fetches you and brings you to his table. When you're so crippled, you can't get to the table. And she saw, verse 5, the sitting of his servants. They weren't running about. They weren't all in a fuss. They were sitting there listening to Solomon with her. That's what they were doing. He gives you rest in his presence. That's what he does. When the Lord makes his presence known, don't you know it when he makes his presence known? You've experienced that. And he just gives you rest. You just sit down. And she saw, verse 5, the attendance of his ministers. You know, John, he was given this revelation. And he looked up into glory and he saw and he heard the voice of many angels round about the throne. And the number of them was 10,000s times 10,000 and thousands of thousands. And the Lord teaches us in his word, are they not all ministering spirits sent forth to minister to them who shall be heirs of salvation? He makes you know you're safe in Christ our refuge with all his angels about you, protecting you lest you dash your foot against a stone. This is how Christ made wisdom to us. She saw, verse 5, their apparel and his cupbearers. Don't you know they... Solomon's... all his servants were just covered in the finest apparel. The Lord Jesus is going to make us see he has robed all his people in his righteousness. These cupbearers, if a cup got that full, they just came and filled it up with new wine. They kept the cup running over. Christ is going to make, by his grace and his mercy and his love and his faithfulness, he's going to keep your cup running over. Running over, running over. She saw, verse 5, his ascent by which he went up unto the house of the Lord. Christ Jesus is going to turn us from everything below, and he's going to turn us to see Christ ascended up into glory, into his house, seated at God's right hand. And here's what else he makes us see. He makes you see that you're seated right there with him. Your life is hid with Christ in God. That's how he settles you. That's how he becomes wisdom to his child. What's the result when he does this? Look at verse 5. There was no more spirit in her. She came there with some unbelief. She came there, probably had some objections in her heart. She gonna prove, in her flesh, she's thinking, I'm going to prove Solomon. I'm going to ask him some hard questions. When she saw everything and she heard the wisdom of the Lord, that spirit was gone. Now she's in awe. And she said to the king, it was a true report that I heard in mine own land of thy acts and of thy wisdom. Howbeit I believed not the words until I came, and mine eyes had seen, and behold, the half was not told me. You see, we can preach and preach and preach, and you can read the word, but it's only when Christ draws you to him and he speaks to you that you're going to realize the half hadn't been told. And even when right now, we can't even hold a little bit much more than half. But we're going to find out one day the half wasn't even told. Thy wisdom and prosperity exceedeth the fame which I heard. That's what you're going to say. That's what we're going to say one day. Now watch this. Happy, blessed are thy men. Happy, blessed are these thy servants which stand continually before thee and that hear thy wisdom. Just come to Christ and hear his wisdom. That's where you're going to find happiness. Blessed. This is what the result is. Blessed be the Lord thy God. This is what we're going to say of Christ Jesus right here. Blessed be the Lord thy God, which delighted in thee to set thee on the throne of Israel. Because the Lord loved Israel forever. Unchangeable, everlasting love. How do you see it? Therefore made he thee king. He made Christ our king. That's how you see God loved his people. He made Christ our king to do judgment and justice, and that's what Christ did. Do you see your sin? Do you see your sin? Are you troubled because all you can do is see others' sin? You need to be saved from that. Are you in a trial? Is your heart aching? You need direction? You need to know what to do? Christ bore all the sin of all his people and put it away. Whatever burden you got, he can bear it. He'll carry you and your burden. He don't just take your burden off of you. He picks you up and carries you. You need light? He's the light. Need wisdom? He's wisdom. You need righteousness? He's righteousness. You need mercy? He's mercy. Need grace? He's grace. Whatever you need, that's what he is. What did we just sing? Christ is all. He's all. Come to Christ. Come empty. Come absolutely empty. She came with all this stuff. Come empty. Come empty. And you pour your heart out to Christ, telling you what I know. Come with all your sins and all your spots and all your disease and everything about you. You ain't hiding it from him. Come to him. Pour your heart out to him. You'll see his wisdom and you'll see his works, and that'll be the result right there. And don't ever stop coming to him. Amen.